Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, where Anders Lew Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting.
Hello everyone, I'm here at Sapphire in Madrid, looking to learn about the latest advancements in ERP systems and AI for the finance function. For that purpose, I've had the opportunity to meet Christian Straub, Head of Customer Advisory, Finance and Spend, and Co-Head of Solution Advisory for SAP at Middle and Eastern Europe. Christian, thanks a lot for taking the time to speak with me. I'm sure you've had a busy conference as well with lots of events and talks and interviews perhaps as well, and meeting customers and so on. So I appreciate you taking out the time here. Could you maybe just give a quick introduction to yourself and the work that you do at SAP?
Great, thanks a lot and welcome everybody. Also from my side, thanks Anders for having me. Right. Christian Straub, my name. I'm, as you said, heading customer advisory for finance. Finance is better, as we call it. We try to integrate business processes from the procurement to the finance side, along with all the operational processes that we have to really advise CFOs how to optimize business processes end to end. And this is also what I do. I advise CFOs and finance organizations with my teams in Middle and Eastern Europe around how to take benefit of the latest innovation in finance. Yeah.
I'm very excited. And I had the opportunity to see your session with DHL yesterday and what
great.
They're doing. And
yeah.
It's amazing what you can do, but I also appreciate that it's a journey, right? You don't just say, hey, we're an SAP, get it done, and then you're good to go. there is some work to do there as well. But I have learned a lot about the SAP Business Suite and everything that you offered during the event here. So could you maybe provide like a brief overview of what does that entail? Because there's a lot of things running around, what is SAP? So probably good just for the audience to know a little bit more about that and what's the relevance to the finance function.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'd like to acknowledge and also recognize that we're, as we see shifting from, you know, organizations that are not just AI supported, but really AI driven. I think that's gonna have a significant impact on finance organizations, as we probably also going to discuss. And we at SAP think that to really able to steer a business better, also to really realize these efficiency promises, we have to connect the operational business processes to the insight level. So we have to get the insight out of the data. We have to get the data right to then connect to AI and make sure AI helps us to work with the insights we have, but to really also optimize the business processes. So connecting these three layers, that's actually the essence of the Business Suite idea, from application processes to data and then to AI. For finance professionals, that will mean that they can really realize the AI promise, as I mentioned. That means at the end of the day, getting better insight into, for example, performance deviations, right? Using AI capabilities and really tracing it down to the origin of the performance problem in the operational business problem, and then really leveraging a huge set of capabilities to optimize, right? And that means we talk about a flywheel of innovation. Really, as you are set up in that framework, you can pick anything you need. For example, in optimizing your financial flows, or you see, hey, there's a problem in working capital. I can extend my DPO, for example, with a network-based optimization setup that we have there. Or you see, I want to further improve my hedging strategy. So you take out a capability on the treasury side. All of that connected always to the AI level. Layer is of significant potential, and I think really helps to, as I mentioned, steer better, but also to realize the efficiency gains that we want to see in finance. Yeah.
And it's a big leap that we're doing, right? Because AI is not only generating insights, it's also making recommendations based on those insights.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
So it's actually a huge part of the, it's called a value chain in finance, that AI will suddenly do for you.
Yeah.
And it's more for the humans out there to kind of qualify the recommendations that we get, rather than to double check or mistrust what's coming out from it. Because obviously it's based on the data that could be for you as well. If you were kind of doing analysis, it just does it almost like that, right?
Absolutely, and that's a great step that we're taking here. Yeah, 100%,
and I had the opportunity to go to the SAP Experience Center also earlier today, and just, of course, I see it from a finance angle, but of course there's a lot more to it as well, but just seeing the powerful way that you can steer the company in the future, today, if you have everything, of course, is such a game changer.
Definitely, I'm also quite inspired by that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So something I would imagine that many SAP customers and users out there are wondering, we're an SAP company today, how can we start leveraging the SAP Business Suite? And are there kind of any prerequisites that we need to have before we can get started?
Yeah. Look, I mean, our idea is that you can adopt really these capabilities in an incremental manner. So you can start at any angle, basically. We overall, of course, believe that innovation will happen in the cloud, right? If you think about the power that we need on the computational side, right? The access to all these large language models, to foundational models. You know, we work a lot with the AI ecosystem, as you've heard. We created a lot of great partnerships. So we need to have this cloud connectivity. That's where the strength comes from. So I think this is certainly a kind of a general prerequisite. But in terms of adopting it, right, you can start at any angle, right? So you say you don't have to go for the big move. You can think about starting at, you know, at your financial planning side. You know, you see that you want to improve budgeting, forecasting, or you want to connect, you know, financial planning with sales planning, you know, HR planning, and so on. So you start maybe at the planning side, and then you think about, hey, you know, how could I benefit from connecting planning better into my operation processes? Because this is where, you know, my cost centers are equipped with costs. Apparently, this is where production happens, so I can do my production planning better. And so you see, as you then progress in adopting capabilities, that you have a kind of an exponential growth in value realization. So we think about an incrementality, right? And the ability to be fast and in gaining new capabilities. Whilst we overall think that innovation has to happen in the cloud, that's why the move to the cloud for us is of significant importance.
Yeah, I think that makes great sense. You know, that's kind of where you can connect everything much better than having to build intermediary solutions. And yeah, we know many people out there, they really have much have spreadsheets to kind of do these things today. So having it all in the system, I think it's really, really powerful. And I think, you know, for finance process alone, we talked a little bit about it, kind of going from doing forecasting in a manual input-driven way to a predictive way.
Yeah.
You know, you can do that today, of course, if you have the suite of tools there. You get it like this, and it's probably going to be more accurate than what you could do input-wise anyway.
Absolutely.
But I think one of the real powerful things, and you also mentioned that, Christian, is the connectiveness to other parts of the company. So it's not just financial planning anymore. It is true integrated business planning, because I saw that as one of the product domains
that we're looking at, right? And we truly believe that this is a game changer. We also think that this is a significant lever to really get companies to much, much better performance. If you're able to connect, as you said, you know, the value chain better, not just from an actual point of view, but also from a planning point of view, being able to understand, you know, if a tariff change hits you, if a raw material price change hits you, if you know, whatever kind of, you know, a conversion rate, you know, hits your company, you know, how does it impact your value chain along the way? I mean, it's super important. It helps us to make better decisions at the end. Yeah,
because today, you know, that's analysis that would take half a day, days, weeks sometimes even to get some sort of idea about what would the impact be, and then the opportunity has probably passed anyway.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying it's just a click of a button here, but we're getting close, right?
No, okay. We are on that journey. Yeah. Absolutely. That's it. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, so now that we've kind of covered what it can do and what it takes for companies to start utilizing it, could you share maybe like a few real-world use cases or examples of companies that have done this successfully?
Yeah. Look, I mean, you mentioned it. I think one of the most shiny ones we had here at Sapphire was certainly DPDHL, you know, DHL Group as a huge group, right? Runs multiple divisions, different business models, and you know, they really thought about these layers that I mentioned: application processes, data, and AI, and they worked incrementally on all of those layers, really realizing significant business transformation achievements. Yeah, and they were telling us, you know, at Sapphire on stage, how they transform the core processes to the public cloud, right? Laying really the foundation of standardization, integration in the processes, and they are then really being fast in adopting shared service capabilities, fast in adopting closing capabilities, fast in adopting order to cash transformation capabilities, whilst they look at, you know, hey, what can I do with my data now, right? How can I make sure I have one single consistent semantic layer for group steering? That means being able to manage this entire DHL group across the divisions in a much, much more transparent manner. And then, of course, thinking about the next layer, they were very clear about that they are on the path to adopting AI on multiple levels, right? And also here, in a fast manner, thinking about, you know, the order to cash process, the procure-to-pay process, where it may be a lot about you know, recognizing invoices, transactions, reconciling things, but also leveraging agents for collections, leveraging agents for accruals, for example. So they're embarking really on this innovation track on multiple angles at the same time in that consistent framework, right, on these layers that I described: applications, processes, data, and then AI. So that was quite impressive. It shows how you can run a big framework, but you're also fast in executing into different business transformation streams. You know, that was a big program, but also think about Siemens Energy. They were articulating on their enterprise performance management transformation, you know, which is of course more about thinking about how you can connect business planning with, you know, closing processes. I think shows how you can start at one specific angle and then integrate that, and of course, into your core process transformation. We had BioNTech, you know, also talking about their treasury transformation. They're also quite a committed customer, and really we have had great collaboration with them on optimizing anything they do in the treasury function. So these examples show that we can start at any angle, and then as we embark on that business transformation journey, we can bring in AI, we can bring in data insights, but also we can connect down the value chain to make sure, you know, we have exponential value growth, and as we call it, this flywheel of innovation to get more and more out of the transformation.
And it's really, really fascinating what's happening and what you start to see companies using. And while, you know, these examples, they have maybe done it for sub processes, but you know, not full end to end throughout the whole company, it's coming, and it can just really just transform the way we operate companies. That's really fascinating. But could you maybe dive a little bit deeper into the AI side of things? Because, you know, if I go to a conference, also here, but also other conferences, like, yeah, 9 out of 10 talks, they would have something with AI. And so I'm sure, yeah, people would like to know more about that. So obviously you have the AI agent Joule, which is your kind of AI agent, yeah, in SAP. So how does it play together with the business suite? And then, you know, can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah. For us, this is of significant importance. So first of all, I mean, if I think about my own advisory, you know, practice, and you know, when I discuss with customers, I see also with what you were saying, right? Everybody talks about AI, and if we're, you know, self-critical or reflecting, you know, I don't think that businesses have yet seen the biggest efficiency gains using AI. So I think we're only at the starting point. But what I also know is that looking at the market and at what technology does and what we are doing, we're moving now into a world where, you know, we see more reasoning capabilities, the ability to structure problems logically through AI, something we do in business apparently, the ability to work on structured data, right, in ERP systems, for example, through foundation models, something we look a lot at with something we call knowledge graph capabilities. And then, of course, all these you know, agentic capabilities that are building up now, if we consider those capabilities on the tech side and then bringing that together with data and processes, we think that we are really now at the starting point, but we're going to see significant impact in businesses going forward up to that level where, I mean, there have been talks at Davos, I know, around when will we see the first company running fully autonomously through managed through AI. That will be a few years down the road, but now it's quite an interesting setup. So for us as SAP, therefore, super, super interesting, inspiring now to see that we hit now the process at the business level with the AI journey. And Joule wraps really around the entire business suite as the one agent, you know, that helps you connect the dots and advises you on everything, right? And also it embeds everywhere, right? So that you can start a process, maybe in HR, you know, around managing your employees, but you could, you know, from there, you know, look into your cost center planning and you connect the dots, right? Or you know, you want to solve any business problem, and solving a business problem means always to not look into finance, just a accounting reflection of the real world, but also look into other operational areas. So Joule will help us to orchestrate processes, right? Will help us to get insights into all of this from all of those areas, analytics, and will help also, of course, to navigate through the different transactions, let's say. So hopefully in the future we don't, you know, go through transactions, but we're guided through processes on an exceptional level, only where we have to be as business users. And a huge part of processes will be automated. Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes good sense. So I noticed in the keynote yesterday that SAP has set yourself a target of 30%, I think it was productivity or efficiency gain, yeah, from the use of AI. Do you think that's what companies should strive for? Because I think it's interesting to kind of hear a concrete number from you guys who, you know, maybe you're one of the company in the world that knows most about this. You say it's 30%. Of course, it could be more, it could be less, but it's not 100%, right? And it's not, you know, it's not, yeah, 5%. So do you think that's kind of what companies should strive for?
Look, I mean, we have a lot of insight apparently into how customers act, right? Into how we have built our processes. We have this heritage of a lot of years of working with customers. So we know a lot about processes and we can observe processes. And we've invested a lot of process analysis, by the way, also in the last years with Signavio and so on. So we understand the process game. And from that understanding, we can see, of course, you know, what the gain is, and we operationalize it, of course, on our development side into specific activities, not just that we claim, but we operationalize that. And we've delivered a lot on really these cases in the last year already, and we have a big plan for this year. So, yes, I think the if we look at these ambitions, we have to always be realistic. You know, that's why if you say it should be 100%, you know, going from zero to automating everything doesn't probably work in the first step, but 30% will be significant, right? It will be a recognizable significant impact. And that's not generated only by, you know, the one or two key killer cases. That's another question that you always get. Of course, there will be cases, and that depends on the company, of higher or lower significance. But we think that, you know, getting AI into each and every business transaction helps you to incrementally build up these efficiencies across the entire user base, and that will be then a significant lever.
So obviously, you know, to get to that 30% dual, and I'm sure other things as well, becomes very instrumental. But can you give some very concrete examples of how to use it in finance and accounting? I think you mentioned a little bit before about like accounting and planning. Where are some good cases to use this?
Yeah. So I think always in different levels, and I like the also this OpenAI framework of the five steps of AI, how AI is developing. And, you know, I think it starts very basic, you know, thinking about, and this were also the first cases we've seen navigational support, right? Thinking about AI guiding accountants, right? Getting them a recommendation of how to post, where to post, directly analyzing their accounting rules. And we are a lot of, in finance, we're regulatory, we're rules driven, so huge benefit on that level. Then as we go into the second step of more reasoning type of setups, I think a lot into analysis of performance deviation. I think we're going to see a lot of impact on the controlling side, but understanding not just on the surface year-over-year comparison, you know, what has changed, but also then detailing down, you know, what might be the root cause, so helping us to get a much, much deeper, better understanding into value drivers. From there, going into scenario simulation, quite interesting. And then, of course, looking into this agentic world, we will see a lot of capabilities, I think, in the area of transactional processes, shared services, anything that's shared service-based, you know, order to cash, procure to pay, but also record to record processes. We will see that agents are going to orchestrate, you know, processes for us. And I always think about one example that's a nice one. If you think about a collection issue, right? A customer complains about an invoice or something, right? And a complaint about something is in the end a business inquiry to you as a company. And if there's a complaint about a product quality or delivery or whatever, you have to understand, you know, what has happened, for example, on the logistics side, right? Have we shipped the goods? What was the timing? When did it arrive? You have to understand the accounting side. What did we post in our accounting side as, you know, receivables against the customer, right? You have to understand on customer experience side, who has talked to the customer, right? So you have to bring together these elements to then answer, to resolve a collection or an issue or a dispute case. And this is where I think agents will have a great impact in helping us connecting these dots and then taking a decision in an automated manner. And this is not yet this end-to-end business steering, right, which sounds very abstract also to me, but it's a very specific case that still has high complexity and takes a lot of time. That's why agents will be quite interesting in helping us there. And then, of course, as we go further up the pyramid of AI use cases, and as we are more mature in the organizations, from the end, then we're going to see more, you know, these connected autonomous planning cycles, for example. Somewhere a driver hits you, the system can, you know, reshuffle and reanalyze the entire framework from operations to the P&L. And we're going to see more these end-to-end integrated business processes, procuring goods automatically, right, based on insights from logistics, then automatically scheduling production based on insights on from the market side, from the sales side, for example, and so on. So, but I personally think that takes us some steps, and also takes maturity on the customer side, on the system side, on the data side, to really realize that. So we're going to see these different levels, but there are a lot of very specific use cases we see, and it could go on and on now through all kind of areas, and there's quite a lot of stuff we see.
Yeah, I mean, really, you should use it on your whole business, right? You could just go for your whole business. That's my makes good sense. So I had the privilege also to attend the customer Q&A roundtable earlier today as well. And one of the other media representatives, he kind of asked a question. So how are the users taking this? Are they resisting, you know, the whole AI? Because maybe they're concerned, because I see many finance professionals, they are concerned about the impact of AI to take their job, and we probably had these conversations, right? So could you speak a little bit about how Joule will empower rather than replace finance teams?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a question that always hits you, right? And it's a fair one. And I personally think that, of course, the way we work and the structure certainly of jobs will change, right? And the requirements to jobs will change. But also that what we've seen, and we had another very interesting roundtable with our group CEO, Dominic Assam, was, of course, that a lot of finance leaders see and know that with growing complexity out there, regulations, you know, we see tariffs, we see accounting standards, we see, you know, indirect tax schemas and so on, with, you know, growing business transactions, changing business models. A lot of companies move from business to business to business to consumer, for example. All of that has a significant impact on finance processes, generates significant complexity for finance organizations. So at the moment, we don't see the problem that we see, you know, significant layoffs or something. I rather see that finance organizations are overloaded by complexity. So anything that can help them, reduce that complexity and focus. And that was a clear statement also from the CEO roundtable that they want the finance organizations to focus really on, and it's an old saying, but on this value-added activities of really analyzing data and thinking about the insights and thinking about what AI tells you, and is this the right thing to do? Should you invest into that M&A activity? Should you divest that business part? You know, how can you better support that division with business partnering? And I think there's so much more, you know, things we could do on the finance side, and therefore I think I personally don't see a huge risk for, you know, that the AI replaces people, but it will change the way people work, and it will also change the requirements with regards to those who do the job. So upskilling, change management is a significantly important topic.
Yeah, and I think that was also one of the key insights from the answers that we then got from the customers, that no, they didn't see this resistance. In fact, they were more having to manage the excitement of getting AI in hand, because one of the things they said is that in our personal lives, our private lives, we're used to using GPT or something else, right, for everything we do now. And we can't necessarily have the same thing at work, so we're just sitting there waiting for it to happen. So it's more managing that excitement, and of course, having some sort of governance in place of what we can use when, so you don't upload the whole strategy presentation to a public GPT or anything like that. So it's more that conversation rather than, oh, your job is not going away. It's a completely different conversation that's happening out there, but it's just many are sitting with that fear because they haven't seen it.
It's fair. It's a change of momentum.
It definitely is. Lots of valuable insights, Christian, and I'm sure the audience really appreciates that. Are there any kind of parting thoughts that you'd like to leave the worldwide finance audience with?
Yeah, no, thanks. Look, I mean, I think this may be one or two things. So first of all, I think, and that was also clear from the engagements we had with the CFOs and finance audiences, you mentioned that now as well, it's really also about change management, right? It's about culture, and cultural change is not something that you do in a day, so it's about doing it stepwise, incrementally, adopting to these new capabilities. The other thing is that what I think is quite interesting is that companies will have to think about their target operating model, right? So it's a holistic business change, right? It affects target settings, affects how our processes are run, right? It affects how we measure things, control things. So it's a holistic business transformation. I think we are in a next step of business transformation triggered by AI. That's also why I think we should not look at AI in this, you know, singular kind of siloed manner and sense, say, you know, is there a great use case? Of course, that's also important to have quick wins, but you should think about it as a holistic approach towards changing your business towards the next step of value creation. And that change, it takes a lot of consistency in the way you approach it, as I mentioned, through change management, but also a clear view on target operating models. And I think that's going to be quite interesting, seeing how we progress on that one. Yeah.
Oh, thanks for sharing those thoughts as well. And I think about the change management, because I also noticed all the customers that mentioned this, and it's always a theme that it's always there. But I think many companies have struggled with how do we really do it well. So I think with the whole AI, we've got to get it right this time. I think would be my thought on that, because this is a huge thing for change management.
Yeah.
So we just spoke to Christian Straw, a I'll not say the whole title out again this time, but Christian, thanks so much for taking the time out of your, I'm sure, busy schedule as well to share more about the latest in ERP and AI for the finance function. Thanks a lot,
Christian. Great, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting.